Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Donna Michelle Ava Mariah. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services. Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Malia Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you as a priest presiding very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters now entering the sanctuary.
Shalom, everybody seated. Okay, last time I spoke, I was talking about unveiling Satan and how the overseer had written in the front of the book of Unveiling Satan on page 5 that they started to work on this book on Passover of 1994. And from when I went to the Strong's in the Greek edition, 1994 comes from 1909, which also is relating to the Measure the Temple prophecy that was fulfilled in 1989. Now, also, I had done a gematria on Yahweh's protection, which also came up as 1909. So these numbers are all intertwined and interrelated, so that it's revealing to us that the overseer who was chosen by Yahweh in these last days is under his protection. And it's backed up by these numbers in the Strong's and the numbers in the gematria. Now, we're going to continue on with this unveiling Satan. And one of the things that was told to me is it is our job. Our job is opposing Babylon. Now, I had put our job is opposing Babylon in the gematria. And in the Jewish gematria, the number came up was 1962. Now, when you go to the Strong's Greek dictionary, 1962 comes from 1909, which puts us and our job under the protection of Yahweh. So we can't argue with what our job is, as the overseer has brought out. We are to oppose Babylon, and his job was bringing out the Unveiling Satan book. Now, the Unveiling Satan, I did the gematria on Unveiling Satan, and one of the numbers that came up, it was in the Jewish gematria, it was 3227, which is comes from 3225, which means right, or on the right hand. And from the 15th book of Israel, Chapter 5, verse 48, he says, well, we're dealing with a being who's sitting by the side of Yahweh, at Yahweh's right hand. Yahweh's right hand. Yahweh is holding a man with a stone by his right hand, which makes him, the man holding the white stone, over at Yahweh's left hand. And he goes on and emphasizes, you got all that figured out? A white stone. Now, what this unveiling Satan refers to, one of the scriptures is Revelation 10:7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh Malach, I put that in the gematria, and the number came up 3074. It's akin to base 3022, which means a wolf, but 3022 means white stone, from Revelations 2:17. And in the book of Yahweh, Revelations 2:17, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the called out ones of the house of Yahweh. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, a sentence of acquittal, and in the stone a restored name, Yahweh written, which no one acknowledges except he who understands. Now, it goes down in the footnotes of 2a. It says the white stone was an indicator in the days of the prophets, Messiah and apostles, that one who had been brought forth for judgment had been sentenced to be acquitted of the accusations. Now, do you remember what occurred to the overseer on 2/12/2018? He was arrested. He was brought to trial. And they were going to give him an acquittal, but he wanted to be as Yeshua. And he chose to follow in Yeshua's footsteps. But he also had a dream of a white stone where he was given his lot numbers. Now, these numbers actually pull together our job in these last days, as the overseer says. Now, I want you to turn over to 2 Thessalonians 2. And I'm just going to read the headline. And this is from the second book of Israel. Okay, chapter 42, verse 2. I want to talk about the book that we are writing, which is Unveiling Satan, and putting out at this time, called Unveiling Satan. I don't know how many people knew this, but because it didn't dawn on me until last week. But this is fulfilling a prophecy. It was prophesied for a certain time period in these last days. It's in 2 Thessalonians 2, which I thought which Pastor thought was just speaking of the man of sin being revealed. But again, through the unveiling Satan, he has revealed the hidden secrets of Satan that Satan does not want revealed in these last days. And the heading on Thessalonians chapter 2, the son of perdition revealed to be seated in the temple, the coming of our ruler and king, contingent upon the energy of Satan. So this gematria of unveiling Satan is actually bringing together all of these prophecies that are being fulfilled in these last days by the overseer. Now, there was a final gematria that I did for the, but in the last days of the seventh Malak. And this last one, as you can see, the last one that's highlighted is number 666. Remember, Revelations 10:7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh Malak, when he will begin to sound, the great secret of Yahweh would be finished. The great secret is the secrets of 666. And I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom. It's a pleasure and honor to be before the called out ones of the house of Yahweh in the last days. So there's a few things I would like to talk about today. And one, I don't know about y'all, but to be completely honest, from Feast up until now, every day has been very interesting, both on the global scale and I would say my own little bubble. And not every day is peaches and cream. And I think of myself as my own worst enemy and literally the only person that gets in my way. So because of being taught to practice thankfulness, which really, it reloads me, it refuels me when I practice thankfulness. And I've only been taught this in the house of Yahweh. Otherwise, I wouldn't use this. So one thing I was thinking about during this week is the teachings of the house of Yahweh and how thankful I am for Yahweh establishing his last day's work and allowing us to be called out of the sinful world and partake of these things and partake of these teachings and just drink all this information in. Another thing that I'm thankful for is the protection and the plan that Yahweh has showed to us and given us the understanding of this plan. Do y'all agree? Are y'all thankful for any of these things that I'm saying? So, another thing, when I was working on these numbers, another thing I was completely thankful for is the germaytrinader.com, is biblehub.com, yijelsez.com, because it without, you know, the high-speed internet, it would take like forever to get the definitions and the numbers. So that leads me to my first point. I want to talk about overseers' phone numbers. You know, overseer has a bunch of numbers, and then the house of Yahweh has millions of numbers. But two of the numbers that I'd like to speak about today is the one that was used to call in our confessions. Can you hear me? So that number is 325-529-3627, and I had put that in the Germatronator. And what's interesting is there was a whole dispute concerning this particular number. Back in 1994, there was a bunch of friction going on, and it was potential that the number was no longer going to remain in the house of Yahweh. But according to Yahweh's plan, it was brought back, and we officially still have that number for the confession line. Now, with that being said, because Yahweh guided that entire thing, one of the numbers in the Germatronator, it also came out to 529. And like I said, the number that is for the confessions is 325-529-3627. And I thought that was interesting, and not to forget to mention that 529 means faithfulness, trusty, establish. And this one caught my attention. It means to the right hand, to the right hand, to be right. Now, just to put back in your memory, Isaiah 41:10, we have, says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your Father. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." And looking down to verse 13, it says, "For I, Yahweh your Father, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you." Speaking to overseer, because he guides overseer by his right hand, right? Yes. The next number that came out in the Strong's, the Germatronator, was 3174. And this one's absolutely amazing. So this number, again, it was for the confessions. And it means to keep, Yahweh will live. 3174, Yahweh will live. And it's composed of two numbers, which is, of course, one is for Yahweh. And the next one is to keep alive. Make life, promise life. And that's what we're promised in the last days, is repent, therefore, and be converted, so your sins may be blotted out, so the times of refreshing may come from the presence of Yahweh, and you may receive life. Okay, so those are for those two numbers, and I find this very interesting, because they're just showing us amazing things that, you know, so Yahweh put this in the gematria before the foundations of the earth was laid, and before, you know, overseer even had a phone. Before he even had a phone, this was already in the gematria. I think so too. Praise Yahweh. The next number is for overseers. One of his numbers is 325-721-4739. And in the gematria, the number came out to 3198. 3198. And the Strong's Hebrew, that means to appoint. To appoint. Correction, judge, to be right and correct. And that's what he's doing in the last days, is he's appointed to teach righteousness and teach us everything that we need in order to enter into the kingdom of Yahweh and receive life. Thank you so much for your time. May Yahweh bless you. If you'd all please stand.
So Shabbat Shalom. Please be seated. In Isaiah 53:11, it reads, "He will see the labor of his soul." He, meaning Yeshua. The title of this speech is, "What's the labor of his soul?" In the gematria, I put in there, labor of his soul, and you can see the number 172. And that is Law 172, which says, you must listen to and obey Yahweh's anointed one. I also put another gematrian with the first nine words in Isaiah 53, and it says, and he will see the labor of his soul. And you see, it's talking about us also in that band with the overseer. Now, Zechariah 6:12 says, behold the man whose name is the branch. So he's telling Yeshua to behold this man, to help him, to guide him, to encourage him, to lift him up. Why? Because he will build the holy house of Yahweh. I also put another gematria in, and it says, believe the prophecies of Israel. And you see there, 2022 in the middle, that's Isaiah 2:2, the mountain, the promotion of the great house of Yahweh. So the prophecy of Israel, building the great house of Yahweh in these last days under the beholding of Yeshua. Well, you see the number 2285 there. And 2285, there's one page for that. It's only one time in the scriptures. And it's Haggab, one of the Nithinim. The theological word book means to cover, to conceal. And we can see on the next slide that we have here that the overseer was hidden in order to restore the house of Yahweh. That's what his name meant. He was hid in order to restore the house of Yahweh. Hid under a lamplight, being taught and prepared to build the holy house of Yahweh. Now, in the Greek, that 2285 means immovable. It's from 1096, and I have a slide for that too. To cause to be, to come to pass, to prefer, finish, and arise. So, let's remember where that 1096 comes from. We have a slide for that one also. It starts at 1074, 1085, 1096, to finish the last generation. And also in the gematria I put, because it said to prefer, I said, who's the one preferred in the end days? And you'll see there, it's 322, the overseer's tag number. So we're seeing that Yahweh picked this man for a great purpose, to build the holy house of Yahweh. Now, when it said one of the Nithinim, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right, that's number 5411 in the Strong's, and it means a temple servant, one given, and it's from 5414, to give, to deliver, to bring, to utter. Remember UTT 322, that's the overseer's number, to utter. To give something to someone's hand, the right to rule. And it said it's synonymous with the number 3467. And we know that the overseer was born in 1934, came to Abilene in 1967. And that word means salvation, to bring salvation in these last days. Now, I went to, and it talked about a temple, someone working in the temple. So I went to Numbers 18, verse 7, and it reads, I myself have chosen your brothers, the Levites. They are a gift to you. And that brought my mind to Deuteronomy 18, 18. And in Deuteronomy 18, 18, it says, I will raise up for them a prophet like me, like you, from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth. And he, that prophet, will tell them everything I command him. Now remember, in Acts 3:22, that's the same account of remembering what Moshe said back in Deuteronomy 18:18. So I put Deuteronomy 18:18 in the gematria. And this is really very amazing. Remember when I put Yahweh in the gematria? I wanted to put these two together because they have the same number over to the left or right, whichever way you're looking at it. 1322. Now, what's really amazing is that 1322 is on top is Yahweh. The numbers below are talking about the last day's witness. Well, when you add up that 420 and the 70, that's 490. And bring to your remembrance that great sermon a deacon gave on the number 490. And you will just be amazed at what, if you go back and listen to that, how important that 490 is. It not only was the time from Abraham to the Exodus, the deliverance at that time, but it also spoke in Daniel 9:24, where it says, 70 weeks are determined upon your people, your holy city, to finish transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the holiest of the holy people. So I thought, let me look up those other numbers to see how it ties in with the overseer. That number 1806, Yahweh has delivered. That's what that means. And in the Greek, it means to bring forth and to lead, to guide, to bring about. The number 301 in the Hebrew origin, it goes to 531, and it means strong, strengthened, confirm. Now, when you think about that word confirm, think about Daniel 9:27. He will confirm that covenant, that last 7 years of that 490-year period. And it means to prevail. The name Israel is number 3478. It means he who rules as Yahweh. And it goes to 8280, meaning to prevail. So Yeshua is seeing the labor of his soul, just as we see our deliverer in these last days, as we say, blessed is Israel Hawkins who comes in the name of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh.
Shalom. Please be seated. The title of my speech today is Why Prophecy? Why Prophecy? We're going to talk today about trust. And how many of you have ever had somebody that broke trust with you? Raise your hand. Raise the hands. Yes. Yahweh is trying to establish trust with us. But what really blew me away when I was studying one morning is that we have to learn to trust Yahweh, and Yahweh has to learn to trust us. It's a two-way street. And you sometimes don't really think about the fact that we have to learn to trust Yahweh. Like, why would Yahweh have to prove himself to us, right? And how does he do that? Because he's Yahweh. The word trust means confidence, a reliance or resting of the mind on the integrity, veracity, justice, friendship, or other sound principle of another. Now, you think about that. We have to become friends with Yahweh. So who does that remind you of? Who was a friend of Yahweh in the scriptures? Abraham. So what did Abraham do? It says Abraham believed Yahweh, right? He believed him. So how do we show that we believe in Yahweh, right? That's what we got to find out, because we want to be a friend to Yahweh, and we want to trust Yahweh, and we want him to trust us. So I've always wondered why Yahweh gives prophecies, and then he says, and now listen to these words. He'll say something, and he'll say, and when this comes to pass, then you will know that I'm Yahweh. And I thought, well, but we already know that he's Yahweh. But he would say something, then you will know and understand, or then you will understand, then they will understand that I have loved you, then you will believe. Why would Yahweh have to say that? Because he wants us to trust him, right? Now, in the Unveiling Satan book on page 20, Unveiling Satan, it says, Yeshua knew that no one except Yahweh can foretell the future. Yeshua said, I tell you in advance, so that when it comes to pass, you will believe. Remember when he said that? Well, what has come to pass? Because we got to see, can we trust Yahweh? Well, number one, we know that the house of Yahweh has been established in a time period of the last days. Now, how do we know it's the last days? Well, when the news is played in a few minutes, it's going to be for sure you're going to know if you don't know. In the last days, Matthew 24 talks about what time period, what things we should be looking for. Because remember, Yahshua said that this is going to be going on, that's going to be going on. We can trust Yahweh because we see in this time period, he established a house and these things are going on, right? What about the fact that it was established in Genesis 49 that Yada would be ruling, that the Vatican would be in charge in this time period, and what's going on? Right. So can we believe Yahweh? Right. Now, let's get to sin being at its peak. We were told about that. But sin's not really at its peak right now. Things are going great in the world, right? Sin is at its peak. Can we trust Yahweh? We believe him, right? So now I want to read about the 7-year peace plan, because I know we've been talking a lot about that, and that's very important because the quartet is alive and well, and it was also prophesied showing about the 7-year covenant that would be signed by a man named Rabin in this time period. It all had to be at the same time, right? Now we're going to read from the first book of Israel, chapter 3. And I want to read verses 7 and 8 here, where Pastor says, I first wrote about the 7-year peace plan back in the 70s in the Mark of the Beast. No one believed. Now, I underlined that. No one believed that there was going to be a 7-year peace plan until it was signed September the 13th, 1993. Okay. Was Yahweh right? We can trust him, right? Let's continue in this reading. Then, after that, even after that, Pastor says, then no one believed that it was going to be shut down, even though Yahweh prophesied it. Pastor spoke about it. Was it shut down? Can we believe Yahweh? Do we trust him? Right. They thought this would be true peace forever, but it was shut down 3.5 years, just as the prophet said. It was even confirmed by a man named Rabin, just like the prophecy said. Now it's shut down, and nobody thinks that it's going to start back up, except who? The house of Yahweh. Why? Because we believe Yahweh, we trust him, right? We have that trust, remember? Confidence, reliance. What Yahweh wants you, this is the verse 8. The house of Yahweh is actually built on prophecy. Now you consider this, built. The house of Yahweh is built. Now what is the house of Yahweh? It's people, right? So these people are built by believing and trusting in this prophecy. You've got to get that in your mind so that you're not deceived. So the house of Yahweh is actually built on prophecy, and it is for the believers, as Corinthians says, so that they can have confidence and trust in Yahweh. What Yahweh wants you to develop in your minds is trust in him. Pastor says that is what Yahshua preached. He said, the reason I show you these things in advance is that so, when they come to pass, you will know that there was a prophet among you, and this was true. Then you'll be able to trust Yahweh. How long? Forever. In the 12th book of Israel, part 2, chapter 23, I'm going to read verses 23 and 26. It says, but the point is, Yahweh's the point here that Pastor's trying to get us to see. He says, I've got to make you believe Yahweh. I've got to make you believe Yahweh, trust in Yahweh, so that you won't go out, leave the house thinking that there's some place of protection over there offered to you somewhere out there that looks better. It may look better, but protection of Yahweh is the only thing that's going to get you through this mess that's coming. And where is that protection prophesied to be? Do we trust Yahweh and believe Yahweh? Yes. Now, to get you to believe that, Yahweh's given you prophecy after prophecy, and he showed you these things that are coming, and they're true, one after another after another. So for my last scripture or reading, I wanted to read the second book of Israel, and this is very important. I want you to really look at what Pastor's telling us here. The great teacher is telling us in chapter 28, verse 153, it says, Yochanan 5, this is Yahshua himself showing the bride exactly what to expect when the end comes. It says, Yochanan 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my words, believing Yahweh who sent me, we've got one sent in this time period, that's why it's so important to end with this. Yes, you have to believe Yahweh. Why? Get this next part, or you won't turn from sin to begin with. You see, if you don't believe Yahweh, you don't believe that curses come from sin. You don't believe that blessings come from keeping the law. So if you don't trust Yahweh and trust in these prophecies, you will hold on to a sin because you haven't completely put your trust in him. So that's why it says if you can't believe his laws, what they promise and what they will bring, which is blessings, naturally you're not going to turn from sin. Yahweh's laws are the only thing that can turn a person from sin. So we have to get rid of sin. We have to be constant in this. We can't waver. We can't hold on to anything. And who is the man that has been consistently teaching us that we have to hold on to Yahweh's laws and get rid of sin? Israel Hawkins. Okay, so you know that one. So at this time, we will turn it over to the great and mighty priests in the house of Yahweh.
Now I will turn it over to great Deacon Michael Osif.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. If you'll turn over to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11, that's found on page 977. Revelation chapter 11, 977. I'll go ahead and start reading. Verse 1, "And there was given me a reed like a measuring rod, and the Malach stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of Yahweh and the altar and its confines where they worship within. But the court, which is outside the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given to the nations, and the holy city they will tread under 42 moons," or months, it says there. So, if you remember, that's talking about the rebuilding of the temple, as written in Yekechka 40. So what this code search was called Yekechka's temple. And it kind of came together quickly at the last minute. And so we're going to jump right into it. What we have, overhead, there we go. Okay. Now, one thing I want you to take notice is right in this area here, there was everything was packed in one line. And it was sometimes it gets very difficult to be able to point everything out because everything's compacted. And this program in particular digs deep and it will just pull things and pull things. And we're starting to see things in layers down below words. So what, like when we do the deal of the century, it's two pages because there was just so much stuff on one page. Now this matrix here, when you see it, what you're seeing is one screen. But the matrix, you know, on a computer, you got the little slide bar at the bottom and you can go screen to screen. Well, this matrix, this is one screen, but it may go 50 screens to the left and 50 screens to the right. So I don't have any idea what's in all that matrix. There's probably thousands of things in there. So I specifically just deal with the main screen where the title of the search is, and that's usually what I look for is the title of that search. And that's why this one's called Yekechka's Temple. So if we go back to here, the main one, the main search or find was right here, Yekechka's Temple. Now this had a lot of really interesting stuff in it. It had some history in it. So of course, first thing that came up was pastor's name, Yisrael. And that's right there. Now we jump into this line here that's packed with all this stuff. I'm just going to follow these lines. This is goes to here, then over to here, then up over to here. And that's Beit. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. From there to there. Those three. That's Beit. And then Yahweh's right there connected to Yekechka. Okay, so you got Beit Yahweh, or House of Yahweh, connected to Yekechka, which is connected to Temple. Okay? Then over here, we have third, as in the third temple. Third temple. Then we jump over to here, and below pastor's name, Yisrael, is the word patent. You see that right there? Patent. Okay, now it really starts getting really interesting. We jump over to here. You have outside, outer, or exterior court. Outside, outer, or exterior court. Then we jump over to here, and we have temple, brochure. Temple, brochure, which, of course, connects and crosses third. Now, this one, I think everybody will know who this is. Up here, this line here, and this line here. What we have is Dr. Asher, as in Dr. Asher Kaufman, who was involved with the lining out of the Temple Mount and the next temple, and that pastor and the engineers had met with him showing the exact lineup of what he was coming up with and what the house of Yahweh had come up with, which Yahweh had showed his house for these last days for the temple to be rebuilt. Okay, now, here's where some more interesting stuff comes in. If we jump over here again to outer, outside, or exterior court, connected to that is Dome Rock South. So we have Dome Rock South, which we know the Dome of the Rock sits to the south side in the outer or exterior outside court. So, okay, then we jump up to here. Now this one, this took a little bit of, we had to, you know, I called several different priests, and then finally I went to one of the engineers, the great Kohan, David Heimerman Hawkins, and I had to consult with him because we weren't sure what this date meant. So if we jump back to the codes, right here, it goes from this character to this one, to this one, to this one, and to this one. And this date connects to House of Yahweh, which connects to Yekechka's Temple. And that is the date 1991 to 1992. Now, at that time, something in the House of Yahweh had taken place which was pivotal regarding the temple and the rebuilding of the temple, and that was the construction of the two temple models. Now, there was actually two. There was a first one, which was a rough draft, so they could kind of see how everything was going to be laid out. And then they kind of got the ideas and had the measurements lined up and ready. Then they constructed the temple model, which we see over here on the men's side. And one thing to note out is when you look at the temple model, you'll notice there's all the stones, and everything was painstakingly put together. Each one of those little stones is a small piece of wood to the size of what the stone would be, but scaled down, and each one was assembled individually to represent the actual stones of the temple model. And it took them several months to do it, and when it was done, it was amazing when it was presented to the house of Yahweh and it was taken. People were blown away because finally Yahweh had brought forth something from Yekechka's writings through our great teacher, the witness Yisrael Hawkins, showing that this is what the temple looks like, this is what it will be like, and no one in history had ever done that. They'd never been able to understand Yekechka's writings. And I know when I was first called out, you know, learning about the temple, I knew growing up that the only place that would have the actual dimensions to the temple would be the true called out ones of the living Father. And that was my proof. Well, I knew that only the house of Yahweh would have that. And of course, Yahweh gave it to his house through Yahshua, through our great teacher, Yisrael Hawkins. So let's jump back to the code. Yes, praise Yahweh. Okay, so 1991 was when the temple models were constructed. Okay? Then if we go to here, 17, which connects to 18, is Mount Separation, showing that there would be a separation on the mount for the house of Yahweh and the Dome of the Rock. Then down here we have prophetic, which it is. It's prophecy fulfilled. Then last, up here over the entire thing, and if you'll notice, the majority of everything connects together in this whole section. Over the top here is rebuilding, showing that the temple is going to be rebuilt. Now, quickly, there's so many words in there. I wanted to point out some other words that were in there. Profitable. Jerusalem, Yahshua, as in our high priest, and the last thing was Yada. So keep these things in mind. Listen to the news carefully today. Always pay attention to the speakers. Write everything down. Meditate upon these things. Go over them in your spare time and be ready, because we have a roller coaster ride ahead of us and what's coming. So if you'll all please stand. At this time, I have the great pleasure in turning over to a great priest and a dear friend in the house of Yahweh, the great Kohan Shaul Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom. Please be seated. We've got quite a bit to cover today, again, brothers and sisters. And we're going to continue on this topic of our work in the midst, in the midst. I want to start out by showing you something here from the Mark of the Beast. This is my original copy here of the Mark of the Beast, Volume 1. You recognize that young man there? Praise Yahweh. And what Pastor wrote here was, if the study of prophecy is as fascinating to you as it has always been to me, then you will enjoy this book immensely. All right, and this is an incredible book that Kanya Didier recommended over and over. Pastor keeps recommending to us. And it shows our work here that actually was done in the midst of tribulation. Now, in Daniel, let's turn back and start in Daniel 9. Daniel 9 and verse 24 here. Let's step back to the 30,000 foot view again. Of the 70 weeks are determined upon your people and upon your holy city to finish transgression, to make an end of sins, to make atonement or reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the holiest of the holy people. And what he's talking about here, and we brought this out, we're doing a little rehearsal here, is Yahweh's plan that he first spoke about in Genesis 1:26. Quickly, in Genesis 1:26, then Yahweh said, I will make man in my image, according to my likeness, and they will have rulership. That is care, to guard and keep, to care over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth, the microorganisms that make up everything. This is what Yahweh wants to turn over to us. All right, this is his plan. And he determined 70 weeks of action that this could be fulfilled. It's also written in Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Let's look at that real quick. Of what Yahweh's doing. This is the purpose of it. You know, we look out at the world, we see what the nations are doing, but none of it makes any sense without the overall plan, the reason it's taking place. And we're the only ones that know this. Because of this book that this man wrote, The Mark of the Beast, under inspiration of Yahweh, explaining these scriptures, nobody knows this except us, the house of Yahweh. Now, if you therefore will truly obey my voice, remember, who is the voice in these last days? Who is the voice in any era? And they didn't obey, remember, by keeping my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure. Then and only then, there's requirements to be in Yahweh's image. We have to be in Yahweh's image. The world thinks, well, we're already in the image and likeness of the Creator. So the Creator must be a destroyer in their minds if you gauge it by mankind's behavior now. Then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the laws that you shall speak to the children of Israel. Then he goes into the laws, the requirements, the covenant that we are to keep that will enable this plan of making us in his image to take place. Because he doesn't just zap us. We, each one of us, have to put these to work and to use in our life and in our mind and let them take over completely in order for this plan to be fulfilled. Now, jump down to verse 27 of Daniel 9. It brings us right to this very day, this last generation. And he will confirm a covenant with Rabin or many. And yes, Rabin was definitely involved in this. And we're going to see more next week, more about Rabin. But Rabin was heavily, you know, he was the one that allowed it to take place. And we're going to see some of his reasoning and so on. And that for the 1 week, the 7 years, now these were 7 years of action, not seven straight years. But then in the midst of the week, and we saw last week how Netanyahu himself cut off the plan. He stopped the 7 years of action, leaving it at 3.5. And that's where we stand to this day. Instead, he will cause the prevalence of the Lord of heaven. We'll see more of that because this is amazing stuff. But we got to lay this other groundwork first. Even until that's the Queen of Heaven, all right? The Lord of Heaven is the Queen of Heaven. She raised herself up and said that she was Almighty God. Well, scratch out that word Almighty, all right? There is no Almighty God. That's a no mighty God or no might. Powerless God is what she set herself up to be. But Yahweh let it go for the benefit of his plan to prove his people. And this is going to take place even until the destruction that is determined, prophesied, will be poured out upon the desolator. Okay? This 7-year plan involves all nations. All nations. Yes, it is many. It's all. All nations, because all 12 tribes have scattered throughout every nation on earth, and every nation is going to be involved in this destruction. No one is getting out of it. But it is centered around the tiny land of Israel, and it is tiny. You can drive in one day from one end to the other. And in that which is in that area, in and around the great river Euphrates, where mankind was first created, and where mankind is going to prove, this is Yahweh's point, to mankind's going to prove it to himself. Yahweh already knows it. We're not proving it to Yahweh. We're proving something else to Yahweh. The called out ones are. But mankind's going to prove it to himself and the whole universe that government of the people and by the people, whether it's the majority, as they claim in democracy, which I highly doubt, or the few at the top that control anything, it's still people, right? It's still people, it's still mankind. Government of and by the people, no matter how many are involved, cannot bring peace. It cannot. And Yahweh's let you figure it out. He said, mankind, I'll let you go your own way and let you figure it out, but you're going to see this by the time it's over. Now, as he lets the nations, let the nations go, remember, Yahweh had a work. That work we saw in Genesis 1:26, it's going at the same time. And especially during this time period, here, this is the finishing up of the work here in Daniel 9:27. They called it the missing week, the Christians did. Well, it wasn't missing at all. They were missing it, and they're missing out. But we know exactly what it refers to, and we're heavily involved in it. It's all about us. But at the same time this work is going, this work showing that his way, which he originally gave in the Garden of Eden, will result, and it will result in mankind being in Yahweh's image and likeness. No doubt about it. Having that same perfect character that Yahweh has, always choosing. It's got to be us choosing it. That's the criteria. We have to choose it, brothers and sisters. Yahshua put it in a nutshell All right, and turn over there in Yochanan 6. And I know we read this a million times, but this directly relates to this seven-year plan and our part in this, last part that's coming up especially, but also our work in the midst. All right, and this is the very essence of what we need to get our minds on and get ourselves to agree with and to actually do here. This is the very essence of Pentecost. Remember, they were all in one accord. The apostles were at that day of Pentecost. Then he said to him in verse 28, Yochanan 6:28, "What must we do that we might work the works of Yahweh?" Yahshua answered and said to them, "This is the work of Yahweh, that you believe in or into whom he has sent." We know who the one sent is in these last days. That believe means to commit. To commit. To turn our lives over to. To commit one's trust. To be committed to. To put one's trust into. That into, that in, means continual. Far more exceeding, for intent purpose. To the intent that, being of one mind. We can't be in unity till we learn to be in total submission with the one sent, which has proven to be the hardest thing for the carnal mind to do, has it not? And we've seen ones that would refuse to come into total submission, and they're no longer with us for that very thing. That's the root of what the problem was. But that is also the root, that the very bottom line thing that we need to do to fulfill Genesis 1:26, and to be not part of this desolation, but the other work that Yahweh has going on that we read in 9:24. Not to be a part of that last part of 9:27. All right? It's the hardest thing for the carnal mind to do, but the most rewarding, as Yahshua's own life shows us. Look where he's at now, at Yahweh's right hand, because of his total submission. Because without this whole 70 weeks, and especially the last missing week that they call it, is meaningless. It's pointless. Just to destroy the earth? You know, that's what the gods did with the dinosaurs. And Yahweh's not a god. He's got no interest in destruction, except where it'll teach a lesson, of allowing it to go to teach a lesson. But he's by no means promoting it or, you know, desiring it in any way. All right? But we see this seven-year plan in 9:27. Well, I want to show you and look over at Ephesians 4. And the reason I brought up Yahshua here. Ephesians 4. And we see, now remember, we're talking about the rebuilding of the temple. But there's something bigger that's going on other than the building of the temple, because it was once known as the house of Yahweh. Yahweh's not so interested in buildings, except where they show a point. But his point is, look at verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, that is the completion of his plan, the work of the ministry, the work of the ministry, for the building of the house of Yahweh, which is the body of Messiah. Until we all come to the same unity of the faith and the same knowledge the Son of Yahweh has. Yes, we have to become like Yahshua. That was the theme of last feast, remember? Be like Yahshua, who was like Yahweh. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of fullness. I don't have time, but if you'll read the rest all the way till verse 16 and start putting that to use in your life. This is what we need to be doing. We got a week to get it together here. But we see this seven-year plan that the beastly government thinks is going to bring peace. They're ready to bring peace. They're going to force it on them. Remember they were saying, ready or not, here it comes. Like it or not, here it comes. Oh, you don't like it? Well, we'll throw $10 billion your way. And maybe you'll like it a little bit then. They'll probably throw another $10 billion when they show that they don't like it. But they probably won't give back the $10 billion. But in the midst, and we see the result of their work at the end of 9:27 is destruction, the 1 hour burning. Let's look at our work in the midst. Let's look at Revelation 11. And we see the work of the last days house of Yahweh. Rise and measure. Rise and measure. And there was given me a reed like a measuring rod. All right, a reed, keep that in mind, like a measuring rod. And the Moloch stood saying, rise and measure the temple of Yahweh. Well, he measured that area. We'll read more about that later, pastor's own words about it. But the court which is outside the temple, leave out. All this here relates to Daniel 9, okay, and we'll show that in detail. And then he says, turn over to Yeketskiah 40, to show this pattern. Ooh. Show this pattern. And we see in verse 2, Yeketskiah 40, verse 2, and in the visions of Yahweh, he brought me into the land of Israel and set me upon the greatly exalted mountain. They still call it the mountain, the temple mount. They call it Har HaBayit, the mountain of the house. And on it, like a building of a city on the south. That's the Dome of the Rock was there. When he took me there, then behold, a man, a being, man-like, whose appearance resembled bronze, with a line of flax and a measuring reed in his hand. He stood in the clearing or opening. Okay, he stood there. Pastor stood there. And he said, son of man, look with your eyes and hear with your ears and fix your mind on everything that I show you, for the purpose that I show this to you, you were brought here. Declare all that you see to the house of Israel. And this is what Pastor did. Now, in the 70s, he wrote about the rebuilding of this temple here. Here's Asher Kaufman's work. And he even wrote here, the temple can and will be rebuilt. The outside of the court of the temple of Yahweh will not be rebuilt in the time of the two witnesses. Why? So this building of the south here could stand. But we see this diagram here of the Temple Mount. Then we see Asher Kaufman's work. I don't know if you can, it's kind of dark, but over here is the Dome of the Rock. And here's where the first and second temple stood. And by pastor's measurements, along with the engineers, lo and behold, guess what else fits there? Yeketskiah's temple that was never built. It was a set of measurements, same proportion, but never used in history. It was for these last days. This was pastor's work to show them this. We're going to have to skip. I want to read you another article from our first trip that resulted from our very first trip to declare this. Now, and we'll go over this later. When Pastor went in 82 and in the 80s, it was to lay out and make sure this thing fit, which of course it did. We had no doubt. But the plan for the third temple, it's an article or a series called Israel Outward, that appeared, that this is Nadia Lurie. She was one of the journalists that I told you about last week at the Sokolov House, or the journalist house in Tel Aviv. Now notice the article starts out, while all Israelis are busy discussing the Har Homa controversy. This was Netanyahu shutting down the plan. They didn't realize it. But this was Netanyahu shutting down the plan, but all Israelis were discussing this. It took up the entire news. Three men from the U.S. are here to propose what they call a peaceful solution to the conflict between Jews and Arabs, which involves nothing less than an ambitious plan to build the third temple in Jerusalem, which they are convinced will bring true peace to this region. The three men are Israel and Shaul Hawkins, both from Texas, and David Heimerman from Wisconsin. All three call themselves Elders of the House of Yahweh, an organization founded in 1982, which is based upon strict observance of the law of Yahweh. Now, Pastor went into detail in this meeting and showed him exactly what he put in the temple brochure, was Yeketskiah's prophecies about the city of Tyre. showing that if we can trust that prophecy, we need to trust the rest of the prophecies about Yekezkiah's measurements. And lo and behold, they fit exactly. Yekezkiah's temple also lines up, and this is amazing that Asher Kaufman pointed this out, but they all missed it because they were so intent on destroying that Dome of the Rock that the East Gate, which the current East Gate wasn't in existence, but right underneath it, in the ground, is the original East Gate, lines up perfectly with Yekezkiah's East Gate. It's amazing how that could slip their minds. But Yahweh hid it from them so that the house of Yahweh would declare it to them in the last days. There's no way it sat where the Dome of the Rock sat. It would be skewed off of the East Gate. Amazing how Yahweh can put it in plain sight and they can't even see it. Well, at this time, if everyone will please stand, we'll now turn the services over to the great Kohan Benjamin Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Okay, now I want you to remember every single thing that you heard from these previous speakers, because every single thing that they spoke ties right into everything that you're fixing to see. Okay, can I have the title slide, please? We're going to pick up where I left off last time, and we're going to be talking about this time of war. Okay, now remember, in Yahweh's plan, everything is laid out. You know, everything was laid out from the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world. Nothing's occurring outside that plan. Okay, remember that. We've got to keep that in our mind because we're fixing to go into the worst time of trouble in man's history. Can I have my next slide? Now, remember last time, we're going to go over just one thing here about the mark of the beast. The great Kohan just showed us about this mark of the beast, volume 1. And that's where we first learned about gematria. When you put in the mark of the beast, volume 1, gematria, you get a number 1934. Which we all know is the birth of the witness Israel Hawkins in the beginning of this last generation. Can I have my next slide? Now, the first mention of gematria in the Mark of the Beast, Volume 1, is in Chapter 7, entitled The Number of the Beast. And, of course, when you enter that into gematria, we showed you get 1934 again. Amazing coincidence. It's on page 87, and when you put in 87, you get 834, which is the month and the year of the birth of the witness Israel Hawkins. Another amazing coincidence. Okay, can I have my next slide? Now, here's another amazing coincidence. Here's a new one for you. When you type in 1976 gematria, you get pastor's other tag number, 322. That was given to him in 2016. Okay, but you also get 2216, which in both Hebrew and Greek means Zerubbabel. Okay, the one who opposes Babylon. Okay, and that's not just talking about one man. That's talking about this whole group. Are you not opposing Babylon, house of Yahweh? That's right. Okay, and notice, Yahshua said in Revelation 22:16, I, Yahshua, have sent my Moloch, my messenger. Okay, to testify to you these things in the congregations of the house of Yahweh. Can I have my next slide? And remember, Zerubbabel means he who opposes Babylon. And notice, only one who opposes Babylon, 322 and 2483, the very date of the establishment of the house of Yahweh. Okay, now, gematria is reserved for Zerubbabel. Notice that, 322. Hid till 1976, 322. That's right, it's hidden from the wicked. Okay, this is not something that the wicked is going to understand. Only those that are wise will understand. Okay? Now we're gonna shift gears a little bit, and we're gonna talk about a very beautiful book here, Unveiling Satan, Her True Identity Revealed. Can I have my next slide? There's a dedication page in that book, page E. And I want to read this. It says, the research, the writing, the typing, the taping, the printing, the binding, and the mailing never end at the house of Yahweh. Performed by some, back then, 50 volunteer workers, Yahweh has brought together. We invite the reader to come and meet this very special group of people at any time of your choosing. And we still invite you to do so. It's a bigger group now. But at this time, when this work was taking place at a location in North Abilene called Two Angels Breath Road, that's where this work took place. Okay, and you'll hear more about that as time goes along. But I just want to touch on this Two Angels Breath Road. You had Pastor Israel Hawkins. He mentions the great Kohan David Yehuda, the great Kohan Shaul Hawkins, and the 50 members. And you see the number 1074, which ties into this last work. Now remember, that tag 1074 didn't come along for many, many years afterwards. So this would not have been known back then, okay? Okay, now we're going to get into that. It says, can I have my next slide? In the 18th book of Israel, in chapter 2345, Pastor says, wait until you see the work on Two Angels' Breath. We still haven't gotten to that one. That address shows the works right there, the two works that were done. It even names them and tags them to three tag numbers. You'll hear about these three tag numbers later on, not today. That address is where myself, the great Kohan David Yehuda, and the great Kohan Shaul Hawkins worked. Yes, we worked day and night, long hours. We were weak, we were tired, but we kept working. And I want you to understand, this was a time of great pressure in the house of Yahweh. Okay, very great pressure, great persecution taking place at that time. He says, but we kept working. I'm pleased with that, and I know that Yahweh is too. Praise Yahweh. Now notice, Yahweh is pleased with it. When you put in myself, the great Kohan David Yehuda, and the great Kohan Shaul Hawkins, you get a 613. And 613 we know is the laws of Yahweh, but it also means a band, a bond. From 631, to tie or tether. It's the word used in Genesis 49:11. They are tethering themselves to the chosen branch, these donkeys doing this work. Notice, 3678 means a donkey. Donkeys. Yes, the donkeys doing the work at Two Angels Breath Road. And the last number, 3993, means a laborer. A laborer. Remember, they kept working. They were working through extreme pressure at that time. Can I have my next slide? Now, we know, you know, Pastor didn't name it Two Angels Breath, okay? We know angels are messengers of God, and Yahweh's not a God, and Pastor's not a messenger of God, okay? God has her own messengers, okay? But if we put in Two Messengers Breath Road in Abilene, we get 322. And if you put two angels or two messengers, you get 322. And remember, Strong's Greek 32 means angel, a messenger, a pastor. Amazing coincidence. When you put in Abilene, Israel, and Abilene, Texas, which is west of Abilene, they're both on the 32nd parallel. 32, remember? Messenger, pastor. Pastor. Can I have my next slide? Two Angels Breath Road in Abilene, Texas, and number Two Angels Breath Road, the work, 2088. You're familiar with that number, right? 2088 means the one, the other. The two witnesses is speaking of here. In Isaiah 44:5, where he says, one will say, I belong to Yahweh, and the same will call himself with the name of Jacob. The other will subscribe with his hand and write, I belong to Yahweh, and surname himself with the name of Israel. And you notice when you put in the one Yaakov, the other Israel, you get 2088, okay? Can I have my next slide? Okay, so now, back when they were writing this book, these events were taking place. There was a comet. We're going to go back in time a little bit before Halbach. There was a comet called Shoemaker-Levy 9, okay? Classified as D1993F2 Shoemaker-Levy. It says that it fragmented into 21 pieces, okay, and it was found just orbiting Jupiter there, which we'll see in a minute. It was discovered on March 24th, 1993. Now notice, when you put in comet D1953F2 Shoemaker-Levy 9, you get a 512. Well, why would you get a 512? Because Yahweh's in full control of this operation. Okay, remember what the great Kohan just said. Yahweh doesn't start wars, okay? But Yahweh allows them to take place, okay, to prove a point to mankind and the beings in the heavens. Okay, so, and also 3072, you remember it meant Yahweh Zitkanu, and Yahweh Zitkanu is 1074 in Gematria, right? So you see pastor's tag everywhere there. And there's that number 3688 again. It means donkeys. Donkeys, remember? We just saw it a few minutes ago. Okay, let's go to the next slide. And let's look at the discovery date of Comet Shoemaker-Levy 9, which was 21 fragments getting ready to hit Jupiter, the planet Jupiter. Comet Shoemaker-Levy 9 discovered March 24th, 1993. The first number you get is 828. Well, we know that's the birth of the witness, but today I want to show you what 828 means in Greek. It means Augustus, and it's the surname of Julius Caesar. Julius. If you remember what I brought a few weeks ago about that word July and Julius, it means Jupiter. Okay, Jupiter. As we see here from, dictionary.com or somewhere, but it says Julius is derived from the ancient Roman family name Julianus. It's also thought to be related to Jove, another name for the Roman god Jupiter, the patron deity of ancient Rome. Okay, the second number is 4968. Now notice this. It means man of the dart. And it's from math, which means man, and shellac. You ever hear a shellacking? Okay, here's what took place. It means a missile of attack, a spear, also a shoot of growth, branch. And they even have branch capitalized in Strong's there in that definition. A plant, sword, weapon. From shellac, meaning to send, send messenger, send her away, her, okay? Remember what was taking place. There was a divorce that she chose, by the way. Send her away, bid farewell, cast off, casting, dismissed, divorce, sent away, escort. Yes, she had an escort, okay? Pastor told us about this. Escorted away, driving them away, let go, release, thrust, remove, get rid of, give them over, reached. In other words, it reached the point in time that Yahweh prophesied for this to take place. The last number, 5783, in this Comet Shoemaker-Levy 9, discovered March 24, 1993, is word number 5783. And notice, it's the word meaning to be exposed. Be exposed, bare, be made naked. Okay, and that's what was taking place at Two Angels Breath Road with the writing of Unveiling Satan. Her true identity revealed, exposed, made plain for everyone to see. Can I have my next slide? Now, Shoemaker-Levy 9, it says from Wikipedia, Shoemaker-Levy 9 had been captured by Jupiter and was orbiting the planet at that time. So notice, if you put in Shoemaker-Levy 9, Jupiter orbit, you get 322. These fragments collided with Jupiter's southern hemisphere between July 16 and 22nd of 1994 at the speed of 37 miles a second. Imagine that. Type in 37 miles per second and you get pastor's tag again. Okay? Now my next slide. Now this war, pastor says in this book on page 2, is no freak accident. Yahweh carefully thought out his plan for war in heaven from the beginning. He cites Yochanan 1, 1 through 3, and this war was in his plan for the exact same time period in which it occurred. The boulders that pounded Jupiter were planned to strike the planet continually for 6 working days. Even the total number of fragments, 21, that hit the planet is prophetic, pastor says. The number 21 is made up of 3 sevens. The number 7 is Yahweh's complete number. The fact that 21 equals 3 sevens makes it even more obvious that this war comes from Yahweh's command, or Yahweh allowed this. Notice, nothing is done outside the plan, 322. Strike 21, the 21st strike that hit Jupiter, 1934. Okay? Jupiter strike 21, pastor's other tag, 322. Okay, remember, this has pastor's tag on it because there was a war taking place. And Satan was being revealed by this man in this work. Can I have my next slide? Now, the very first chapter of this book, let me show you. Here's what it's called. If you can zoom in on this. It says, Chapter 1, War in Heaven, Salvation Has Come. I like to put things in the record. It says, so when you type in Unveiling Satan, Her True Identity Revealed, Chapter 1, War in Heaven, you get 666, okay? But you also get 5368, and let's look what that means. It means to knock, to smote, to knock, to strike, to hit, strike or bring down. Isn't that what was fixing to take place with these comets, these 21 fragments? And notice, Strong's 2160, when you put in knock, strike, hit, strike, and bring down, you get 2166 and 1950. Let's look those up. 2166 means time, times, appointed period. It means appointed time, definite time, time, and times. 2166 in the Greek means Euphrates. Remember what the great Kahan just said? This was done in and around the great, this was the time period in and around the great river Euphrates when all these things were taking place, the temple was being shown, etc. The wars began. This was the appointed time for this war in heaven to take place, is what Yahweh's showing. And 1950 shows why. It means because you rebelled. Okay? And it's from 2000, it means confused. And it means of a shameless woman. A shameless woman. Okay? All right? Talking about Hillel. Okay? Be in great commotion. To mourn, to cry, tumultuous. Notice, war. War. Okay? Showing that 1993, remember Daniel 9:27, this was the time, time, and dividing of time, the appointed time from the foundation for this war to take place beginning in 1993. Why do you think Shoemaker was discovered in 93? Why wasn't it discovered in 92? Because it wasn't time. It wasn't 93 yet, right? Can I have my next slide? Remember in Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. A time of war, 666. Cover of Time magazine on 5/23/94 says cosmic crash, showing the 21 fragments aiming at Jupiter. And you put in cosmic crash, you get a 666. Can I have my next slide? Now, the ninth book of Israel, part 2, chapter 3, verse 22. Wink, wink, nod, nod. You know what I'm saying? 3:22. Pastor says, you know the prophecy where Yahshua showed in Revelation that Satan, when she was cast down, you might have seen another hit on Jupiter the other day. He was talking about another hit that took place 15 years later on 7-1909. It was on the 15th anniversary, on the day, the 15th anniversary when the Six-Day War took place on Jupiter. Shortly after that, Hale-Bopp came out from around behind Jupiter and came over. Okay? Can I have my next slide? And then he shows on page 238, or chapter 1, verse 238, how there was distress signals from Jupiter that were being picked up by NASA. It says NASA has confirmed that Jupiter is the source of these eerie signals, which began in late June, just weeks before Shoemaker-Levy-9 comet fragments began to pummel the giant planet. Can I have my next slide? So she was sending out signals. She knew what was getting ready to take place. She was being evicted. Okay? All right, now, I want you to notice something here. Comet Hale-Bopp was discovered on March 24th, 1993. The closest approach of Hale-Bopp was 3/22/97. When you put that in the day-date calculator, it's a number of 1,459 days. And notice what 1,459 means. It means midst, the middle. Right? Wasn't it not the middle and the midst when this was taking place, when Hale-Bopp went by? Yeah, I'm sorry, but you cannot make that up. We didn't make this up. This is all in history. Can I have my last slide? Unveiling Satan, Her True Identity Revealed, in chapter 6, pastor says, Satan's been unveiled. Her true identity is now revealed. For almost 6,000 years now, Lucifer, the great dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, has worked to keep her true identity hidden. At this time, the whole world worships Lucifer, as we're going to see in upcoming sermons here, rather than Yahweh, the Creator, because for this same time period, she has managed to keep the population deceived, except for the elect, that's us, and their followers. The elect meaning pastor, the very elect, and all of us. Now notice, when you put in Lucifer, the great dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, has worked to keep her true identity hidden, you get a 6066. That's how she tries to hide it there. But remember, drop the zero. 5248 is the other number, and it means Nimrod. It means rebel. A star god. Namrod U is what it's pronounced. A star god. We're going to learn more about this in upcoming sermons. Buckle your seatbelts, because you know what? Even her name is going to be exposed. Her original name is in the Gematria. You're going to see every single thing about this woman that Pastor showed us and the great workers that helped him in this work wrote in that book is going to be confirmed to all of us, so we can believe, as we were told, that there has been a prophet and there is a prophet sent to us here at the house of Yahweh. And at this time, if you'd all please stand. It is my great privilege and honor to turn it over to the great Kohen Yehuda Hawkins.
Shalom. Please be seated. Please take your books of Yahweh and turn to page 752. We're going to look at Matitya chapter 24, verses 27 and 28. Or Matthew 24, 27, and 28, if you haven't got your book of Yahweh yet and you're still using a Bible. There's really not a lot of problems with it. You can pretty well keep along with it on that one, too. The scripture reads, "For as the lightning comes out of the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcasses are, there will be the eagle, there will the eagles be gathered together." Sounds almost like a desert. Everybody died and the birds are in having a feast, doesn't it? And lightning comes, in other words, comes out of the east. Well, a lot of these storms that come through here with lightning, they're going east, not exactly going west. Most of them go from southwest to northeast or northwest to southeast. They end up heading somewhere east. But the word lightning that is written in Matitya 24:27 is translated from the Hebrew word barak. This word is listed on page 196 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow. That's in volume 1, which shows this word means the rising light. And of course, the sun comes up in the east and the light of the sun heads west. So we're talking about light. The word comes that is written in Matitya 24:27 is translated from the Hebrew word yatsa. This word is listed on page 116 of Wilson's Hebrew Lexicon, which shows this word means to depart. The words out of that are written in Matitya 24:27 are translated from the Hebrew word man. That's mimnun, sofit. This word is listed on page 825 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament, but Julius first, which shows this word means from. The word and that is written in Matitya 24:27 is translated from the Hebrew conjunction wall. This word is listed on pages 112, 113 of part first of the Hebraic tongue restored by Fabre d'Olivet, which shows this word means thus. The word flashes that is written in Matitya 24:27 is translated from the Hebrew word awar. That's Aleph Waw Resh. This word is listed on page 44 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means revelation and truth, truth and prophecy. The word two that is written in Matitya 24:27 is translated from the Hebrew word od. This word is listed on page 788 of volume 2 of the Hebrew and Aramaic lexicon of the Old Testament by Kowaler and Baumgartner, which shows this word means a witness. All right, the word carcasses. Everybody thinks somebody died here. Well, the word carcasses that is written in Matitya 24:28, that is written in Matitya 24:28, is translated from the Hebrew word nafal. This word is listed on page 657 of a Hebrew and English lexicon of the Old Testament by Brown, Driver, and Briggs, which shows this word means to fall down in worship or reverence before Yahweh or his representative. The word eagles that is written in Matthew 24:28 is translated from the Hebrew word nashad. This word is listed on page 942 of volume 2 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jasper, which shows this word means the righteous. So this is what Yahshua was talking about. For as the light will depart from the east, and thus revelation and truth, truth and prophecy will come from the witness in the west, the witness in the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever those who worship Yahweh and reverence the one he will send are, there will be the righteous gathered together. That's what it's all about. Brothers and sisters, what I want to tell you is, remember two scriptures. Put these things, if you will, in a note. Keep it in your book of Yahweh. And that is those scriptures in the last part of Ecclesiastes where it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Reverence Yahweh by keeping all of his laws, for this is the duty of all men. And the second one is Romans 15:4. Everything you're seeing here, the law, the plan, these things that are being told to you, Romans 15:4, put that in your scriptures also, or keep it as a note. For these things were written for our learning, that through these words we may have hope. Keep that. Keep them together. Put them together. Put them there as your guidance, as your inspiration, and for your will to serve Yahweh. May Yahweh bless your understanding, and I turn the services over to the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Be seated. Praise Yahweh. Peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Looking into the news, it's very important. You know, in the house of Yahweh, you have true friends. And you know what a true friend is? And even with correction, that is true love and true friends. And that's what we have here in Yahweh's house. But in the world, a friend is someone who you can manipulate and someone you can control. And if they don't do what you tell them to do, you sanction them. And that's what the United States and the European Union, the EU, are supposed to be allies. They're supposed to be friends. But the United States this week threatening the EU that if you don't do what we tell you to do and you continue to do business with Iran, you're going to be facing sanctions. In other words, you're not going to get to buy, sell, and trade freely like we're doing. And they promote, watch how they promote that freedom comes through oil, doing what you're told to do with this oil. Remember, hurt not the oil and the wine spoken of in Revelations. And also keep in mind that fourth part of the earth, in and around the great river Euphrates, because that's where the Arab League, that's where they met this week. Of course, it was in Mecca. That's 21 Arab leaders, and they met to discuss how to deal with Iran. Now, as they come together, and you're talking about very wealthy oil countries that are meeting here, a lot of money, a lot of provision of oil for this world. But as they met, the Iraqi president stood up and said, now this is a quote, listen to what he says, that we're watching before us a war that could take place and engulf us all. In and around the great river Euphrates, even the president of Iraq has seen what's taking place right now. If we don't get control of this, we're all going to suffer in a huge war. Now, Yisrael Hawkins brought that out many, many years ago. And if they want to know about that great war, they can get with the house of Yahweh, and the house of Yahweh can show them, because he's right. There's going to be a burning, a huge burning in that fourth part of the earth. But watch how they're trying to come together. There's no agreement amongst them. We have to understand this peace they're trying to bring together is peace through war, and everybody wants part of something. It's a what am I getting out of this? What are you doing for me? Or else I'm not going to do anything that you tell me. And in saying that, that's exactly what we see going on with Iran. Iran saying that you let us have freedom or we're going to shut down the Strait of Hormuz. Well, remember, the United States sent over the USS Abraham Lincoln aircraft carrier that has bombers. It's sitting over there right now. Now, as it's sitting there, you have Iran saying, listen, at one time that would have been intimidating. Now we can take that out with one missile. So they're telling the United States they're building it up. And remember who supports Iran. It's Russia. That's where they get their support. It's coming from Russia. With all of these things taking place, you also have, don't forget, the peace plan. Yes, Benjamin Netanyahu did not form his government. Yes, they're going back into re-elections. Does that stop the peace plan? No, it doesn't. And you will hear even Netanyahu will say, this does not stop it. We're going to push forward with this. Keep in mind, you have Palestine right now. Watch this and think about this on a scale. If you didn't have Yahweh's laws to govern you, here you have a meeting in Bahrain. It's supposed to be an economical meeting. So this deals with money. It's how to support the people. You have people in Palestine right now that are suffering due to poverty. You have countries right now offering billions, and it's a bribe. That's exactly what Mahmoud Abbas calls it. He calls it a bribe. And Mahmoud Abbas can stand as strong as he wants to, but how much pressure do you think he's getting from people that, I'll take the money? He's going to get a lot of pressure, and it's got a lot of force coming his way. Watch very closely, though. As this is going on, you see it pushing forward, and you'll also hear David Friedman. Remember, that's the ambassador to Israel from the United States. And he says that people should not count out their God. Their God will push this through. Now, it's not Yahweh, because Yahweh doesn't do war. Yahweh will push something through too, and they don't realize that he's allowing them to have their way, and then we will teach them. They have to see that their way is wrong. But keep this in mind, brother. With this peace treaty and sisters that we see coming forward, notice how they say it's still moving forward. It's looking to move forward. They're still speaking of this month, it coming forward. Remember everything that's been brought, and remember one thing. No matter how much we don't like it or how much we think it's not going to take place, that's not going to keep it from coming. It's going to come whether we want it to come or not. And we can either be those who believe without seeing, or we can see it and realize that he was right this whole time. But one way or another, we're all going to stand together and we're going to praise the words of Yahweh 7th Malach and the truth that he brought all of us. At this time, if we could please play the news. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Oh, you're a beautiful sight, people. Yahweh, they're all yours. Praise Yahweh. Oh, boy. Be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You're a beautiful sight. Why is all the news talking about the peace plan at this time? Who told them they would back in 1976? Not only that, we wrote it in a book. So, and got it bound by a bonding company who also has record of it. There's about 200,000 people out there watching me. I'm out of breath. I stand back here running in place. I'll settle down here in a minute. I was going to tell you, we're needing more parking space. A lot more. Parking lots are filling up and got everything crowded, the roads blocked and everything around the sanctuary. We're thinking about this 5 acres south of the south office, turning it into a parking lot. And they're saying that's a long ways to walk. So I said, well, maybe we could put the older people up here close to the sanctuary, then all of us younger people, we'll park on that 5 acres until we get the 20 acres turned into a parking lot that reaches 254. Then all of us younger people can move further south. That wouldn't be too far to walk. Carry a needle on the back of your hand. We have about 200,000 people listening to this on, well, I guess more than that, probably
double that with all the programs that we're on right now, going out live. But just that one, just on that one, is reaching about 200,000 people right now. So if everyone out there will get you about 200,000 notebooks, one of these, and start taking notes. You really need to take notes on this. I was talking last week about the excitement that is an energy that is arousing when the women, the holy women of new. You can read the holy women of old in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. We have here who's taken their rightful place in the house of Yahweh, as Eve should have done, as Satan should have stayed, and these holy women of new, you'll get this next week. Beautiful. Holy women of new. Well, yes, they're generating a lot of excitement. On the worldly shows, reaching the world, every nation. Now I've got to say this next part just right because I don't want to lie. So you're going to have to listen closely now. After I made that announcement last week about the energy that the women here were stirring up, and it could be heard from here to Abilene, some of it, and they're like 40-year professionals. They're speaking right now, so you can tell they put their hearts in it. Well, you probably won't believe that Elder Kohan the priest, Elia Matthews, called me and said, "You talk about excitement." He said, "When my wife calls you and tells you she's got something, and you listen to it and you act like it's really exciting, and then she gets more excited, and then she asked you, who do you want to give this to? And I said, you." He said, "A lot of energy is stirred up down here on this ocean." And he says, "It's kind of like what you said about the drop of salt water. There's a hurricane and every drop of salt water, that the energy for a hurricane in every drop of salt water." Yes, I do remember bringing that out, and it was fully tested. I know what I'm talking about. You check me out. But anyway, he said, the next was that when you get your daughter involved with her down here, he said, no, he didn't say. It went like this. "We see hurricanes," he said. "When you get those two involved, we see hurricanes." And he sent me this. No, he didn't send me this picture. This picture was sent to me from his family. You see that? Now that's what takes place, presumably, when those two get involved. Well, you saw the excitement when they were telling about Pentecost. And he said, "Yes, hurricanes." And no, he didn't say, "Yes, hurricanes." Yes, this picture was set by his family of the hurricanes and this weather forecaster. He said, no, he didn't say. Notice the purple. The purple, you see that? And I said, well, that's got to be the holy women of new. The holy women of new. And I said, you know, that explains all this rain that's taking place. Well, anyway, next week you're going to see this brought out. What we're seeing on the news here right now, of course, is the peace plan that we wrote about back in 1976. It was signed in 1993. Then Shaul's bringing out the history on that, the history of the house of Yahweh. And this is something that is, as Trump said, is reverberating around the world. It's going out to all nations. Yeshua said, I tell you in advance, so when it comes to pass, you will believe. There's no one can foretell the future but Yahweh. Yahweh said, I will give to my two witnesses, right? He said, in Isaiah 44, he said, who as I will foretell and set this in order for me? And then he says, Jacob and Israel, two brothers from the same womb. That's all there in that same chapter. And he says, Let them foretell them. Then he says, you are my witnesses. That's all in Isaiah 44. Then in 45, in verse 4, I believe it is, he said, so they may know from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun my name. And only I can foretell prophecy. Try to foretell it, you preachers out there. I'm talking directly to you preachers out there. I know that there's many of you that's wanting to come, as you've expressed. This is expressed in this news report here that I got this morning. And many of the preachers that's formed their own congregation, some of them are wanting out of the contracts they have and don't know what to do. I can tell you, you will be persecuted. Yeshua said, all who live righteously as he did will suffer persecution. Well, of course, that's going to take place, and prophecy shows it will take place in these last days. But don't fear those, he said, who can kill the body, but they can't raise it. We can. The house of Yahweh is given that power in prophecy. Yes, it's already prophesied, and every one of these prophecies, it's a must that they are fulfilled. That's what Yeshua said. So there's no doubts we're going to receive that power, that authority to raise the dead. And they will be judged. Some will be raised to be offered eternal life. Others will be raised to be damned, whatever standing point you're in when you die. Iran's Rouhani, no talks right now, he says. Resistance is our only choice. This is a sad thing right here, because you can see what force brings. You can see what the Nimrod system brings. It's the 666 that we keep bringing out here in the gematria. We didn't write these things. The things that Yahweh is showing us of the gematria, but also
the work, his work, that's running abreast with the work of Satan trying to build a kingdom, her kingdom here on earth, instead of Yahweh's kingdom here on earth. And of course, heaven is saying now, there's no place left for you there. Now, I want you to know in this, what was brought out by the great Kohan Benjamin Krauss Hawkins, this war on Jupiter, the stones that hit Jupiter, Yahweh did not send those stones. Yahweh strictly warns everyone, you can't interfere with my work. And Satan knows this, and Satan was very careful when she was dealing with Eob, in the book of the King James called Job. She was very careful not to cross that line, and she only went as far as Yahweh said. But now, Yahweh said in advance, you've got to get this in your mind. He's not up there a vengeful God. He never has been that way. But he guards his work. And he tells them, you can't interfere with this work now, because these things are set in motion. These angels or messengers will not forgive your sins. They'll kill you. They're set to guard the work, not to go out and kill. But you get in front of them, or you try to interfere with Yahweh's work, and they will take your life. Now, this is what took place on Jupiter, and Satan refused to go. I brought that out when this was taking place, by the way. But I want you to keep this in your mind, because Satan knew that she had to obey that order, but she rebelliously refused it for a while. And here come the messengers, just a few, 6 days worth of it, and she got out of there. Now, there's another one coming, I do believe, from what we're seeing now in the gematria and in the prophecy. There's a group of them that were buddies with her, but still in heaven fighting her cause. And they're going to be dumped on earth here very soon. I'm thinking it may be Pentecost. Yes, just a few days. Now, we're shown what those are going to do, and that's what I want to get into a little bit today. These uproars, the fighting right here that you see, and the force that is being put on this man and his country. He's not the only one. You know, we had Afghanistan, Iraq, the war's still going on. The wars are still going on. The millions or billions of dollars is being spent there right now. That's all shown in the Holy Scriptures in this first part, as Yahshua called it. This is the first half. This is the first half of this tribulation that is taking place. Now, the nuclear, if you remember, it started on a certain date. We gave that date, and then it was stopped. One general single-handedly stopped it, stopped the nuclear war. But they did shoot one building with a nuke, and that was sitting on the edge of the water of the great river Euphrates. Then the war stopped, and they were held back until this time period. This is the time period when we're looking for to bring in the nuclear that I'll cover in Revelations 9 and, of course, Daniel. But he says, Iran urges you in to launch talks over alarming Gulf tensions. Let me repeat that.
Iran urges the UN to launch talks over alarming Gulf tensions. Now, so far, the UN has done nothing that is newsworthy anyway. They may be doing something undercover. Meanwhile, we see a pressure being put on them that is shown to us in Revelations, the 13th chapter. Revelations 13, with a power shown in Daniel, but in Revelations, one showing, let us be like the first beast. The first beast, Nimrod system, it's the 666, and of course Cain before that. The God worshipers, evil like the gods, Genesis 3:5. Don't forget that. Genesis 3:5. It says righteousness and evil. Yeshua, if you'll read the 7th chapter of Matthew, Yeshua says you can't have both. You accept the evil and the righteousness is gone. You can't bear both fruits. The first fruit, by the way, the tree of life was taken from them. That was in Genesis. There's been no tree of life. There has been no tree of life. It wasn't even prophesied till this generation. These preachers that go out there bumping their gums and telling lies, you know, chasing Easter eggs, worshiping the dead. Santa Claus comes down the chimney. All of these lies that they're telling the people, that's just a few of the mystery religion that sits on the seven hill is putting out. They don't dare tell the truth about themselves. He says, the letter came as tensions mounted between Iran on one side and the United States and its Gulf allies, Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, on the other. On Sunday, U.S. President Donald Trump warned Tehran of its official end. Of its official end. You're going to be annihilated, he said, should it threaten Washington. Now, of course, there's all kinds of ways to get this brought about, to bring this war, to start this war. In the last 3.5 years, we're fixing to go into it. If we're not already in it, we're fixing to. And it's going to bring the nuclear. It was held back for this time period of establishing this great gathering that is taking place right now. It's taking place right now. We'll see it in the book of Yahweh in just a moment. If you don't have a book of Yahweh, you can follow us in a King James Version. And you could, if you had a pencil ready, you could cross out the words Lord and we'll tell you Yeshua or Yahweh. They took this word Lord to replace the Creator's name in Yeshua's name, the Savior's name, to replace both of those names in the King James Version. This is no secret anymore. We've brought this out and proved it to all the world. You can prove it in another way when Yeshua gave the statement, he made the statement, you won't see me anymore until they say, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. Blessed is he who comes in the name Yahweh. Now, first off, you won't see him. You won't see Yeshua. If you're thinking you're going to, your thinking is false. He don't lie. You won't see Yeshua until this group of people that Yahweh is gathering, says, Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. Now, Yeshua, the way you check this out, let me tell you preachers, you researchers out there, you can check this out in book 2. I know they call New Testament and Old Testament. Actually, all of it is one book, the book of Yahweh, the prophets, and the foundation that Yeshua laid with his apostles, disciples, is book 2. Well, he quoted that scripture from Psalms 118:26. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. Now, you can get a linen linear, which gives you the Hebrew of book 1, along with the English underneath, reading backwards, of course. But it will show you, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. And then it says, you are blessed out of the house of Yahweh. Now that's the scripture he quoted. You're blessed out of the house of Yahweh. Yeshua said, in the last days, I will establish my house on unity. On unity. That's what makes the difference. Not force, but unity. 100% unity with the one sent. Yes, that's right. It's got to be, or you won't be there. If you don't say in your heart, it just can't be with your lips. It's got to be in your heart. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. I am the he. Zechariah 6:11. In the last days, behold the branch. Isaiah shows you who the branch is. Isaiah shows you who the branch is. Zechariah 4:5 shows you that it's the two witnesses, the two olive trees. The two olive trees are showed in Revelation 11. These are the two olive trees, it says, my two witnesses, and I will give to my two witnesses. Revelation 11, 1 through 3. If you look this up in a linear, it will say House of Yahweh. If you look it up in the King James, it will say House of the Lord. Yeshua said, they don't even know who they worship. Now that's how bad it was. Yeshua had to show his 12 disciples the name Yahweh. He had to show it to them. They didn't even know at that time. They'd caused Jeremiah 23:25-26, they've caused my people to forget my name for Lord. If you can go to a bookstore and buy you an Unger's Bible Dictionary, look up the word Lord, you will see that that is not a sacred title at all. It's a title of men. Who? Rabbis. The tribes of Yada, the Yadim, who persecuted the prophets. Rabbis. Yeshua said, don't call any of these people rabbis. Don't call them rabbis. You have one who is your teacher. That was Yeshua at the time. And then he says, in the last days, behold this branch, the one called the branch, and it's shown to you, these two olive trees are called branches in chapter 4 of Zechariah. They're called branches. And he said, behold, this man called the branch. He's going to branch out and build the house of Yahweh. And you can go to the interlinear, if you can afford one, and see it's house of Yahweh, not house of the Lord, like the King James Version has it. The Unger's Bible Dictionary says, They use the name Lord, the title Lord, to replace the Creator's name and Yahshua's name. But you can prove this for yourself. You don't have to take my word for it. I would like for you to prove it. Then I'd like for you to preach it. Be ready for the persecution. Well, here on the, back to this article. It's depressing to see all of this and to see the nations being put under pressure, then the people being killed. It's a third of the people, Yahweh shows you, is going to be killed over that fourth part of the earth, in and around the great river Euphrates. Well, why is the war just taking place right there, right now? You preachers out there, I'm asking you a question. Why is the war taking place there? Why not the rest of the earth? That fourth part of the earth is what was prophesied. Why is it being held in that fourth part of the earth? The scriptures gives you the answer. Yahweh's got to work. He's got to work. The seventh work. Revelation 10:7. And we're in the finishing stages of that work right now. Revelation 10:7. When the seventh Moloch, who's also the branch that builds the house of Yahweh in these last days. And Yahshua said, if you don't accept him, you don't accept me, and you don't accept Yahweh. I'm the only one on the face of the earth besides my disciples, my donkeys that Yahweh has given me. The house of Yahweh is the only ones that's preaching this message. That's it. Praise Yahweh. Well, he says on Sunday, U.S. President Donald Trump warned Tehran of its official end should it threaten Washington. A day later, Iran's foreign minister, Mohammad Javad Zarif, denounced Trump's genealogical taunts and urged the U.S. to address the Islamic Republic with respect and not threats of war. Islamic Republic, remember that because there's more on it here. On Monday's letter, he warned that the eruption of any possible conflict will soon cross over from the regional level and will definitely have serious and extensive implications on international peace and security. This is what Caspar Weinberger put in his book, too, The Next War. The ambassador added that Iran will never choose war, but that if war is imposed on us, Iran will vigorously exercise its inherent right to defend itself. While both Washington and Tehran say they are not seeking war, many worry any miscalculations could spiral out of control. He accused certain circles from outside this region of provocative politics and escalating tensions in the Gulf. Iran's president, Hassan Rouhani, said the favors, talks, and diplomacy, but not under current conditions, state news agencies said late on Monday. Today's situation is not suitable, he said, for talks, and our choice is resistance only. It's not suitable. Well, of course, this is what Yahweh told Satan in the beginning when Satan decided to go against Yahweh. Her children decided to follow Mama, and they went against Yahweh's servant, Abel. And Yahweh showed them what they did and what she's brought the world to see. But I want you to turn over now to Matthew 24. This is taking place. It's going to take place. Nuclear war is going to take place. These prophecies are, it's a must that they come to pass. That they be fulfilled. There's no changing this at all. Yahweh told you what it's going to be, what the future is going to be. If you just sit back and look, you'll see it taking place on the news. We've pointed it out in the books and on the news that these prophecies are being fulfilled. I've been worried about this one. I started talking about this years ago and warned the people, you better get ready because it is coming. But here in Matthew 24, in verse 3, we see the end. This is what it's talking about, the end. This right here is talking about the end. And then he talks about nation of seven, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and disease epidemics. They put pestilence, disease epidemics. We're seeing that and hearing all the time on the news that this disease or that disease is drug resistant and could easily be carried to all the world, and we would sure enough be in trouble. And Yahweh and Yeshua said, this is the first half. Well, we've seen all of this in this last 20 years after that peace treaty was shut down. 20 years later. Now, they say they're not going to sign the waiver any longer. They're not going to sign it anymore. No use of it, they said. We're not going to sign it anymore. This is going into effect. Well, you saw the news. We just played it and what they said. Now, if you will look down to verse 24, remember it's talking about the end. Verse 24, for there will arise false messiahs. False messiahs. You know, these people, these beings that are being put out of Jupiter. Jupiter is going to be the closest to Earth on Pentecost, that it's ever been. Jupiter. Well, that wouldn't mean much to most people, except that you got the history in the house of Yahweh about Jupiter and the Six-Day War and what took place. Revelation shows Satan was cast out, and that old serpent who deceives the whole world was cast out. And many, though not at the time, at that time, but many of her messengers who were staying fighting a court battle, that's what Yahshua is doing right now, upholding the house of Yahweh, by the way. Beholding, that's part of that job of beholding the house of Yahweh and seeing that everything is brought to no harm, but also pointing out what this house is bringing, as it was prophesied to do, bringing this great message of the kingdom of Yahweh that will stop all wars. Yes, that's another prophecy. and it's going to come to pass. We are going to stop all wars. Well, and here we see that there will arise false messiahs. What if they said to you that Jesus was newly risen, and here he is in Rome, and they show this man walking around with a hole in his side? Now, these people can imitate flesh. We see this in Book 1. If you want to study that a little, between now and next week, you know, next Sabbath, it would be a great thing. But in the days of Samuel, and how this was actually took place to deceive, but these beings, they can form or be imitation of first or another. They can inhabit bodies. They can. I don't know if they could. I suppose they might even move a dead body that has recently died. They have lookalikes. They have lookalikes. So it could be, here's a pope that's introducing Jesus. I'm trying to think of all the possibilities that with the cameras running and on the news, and how many people throughout the world would head to Rome. I can tell you from what Yeshua said that if something like this takes place, it's not true, it's false. And as the great David Yehuda brought out today when he corrected that scripture in Matthew 24, there's only one place you're going to see Yeshua, and that's the house of Yahweh. Now, if you don't believe the Holy Scriptures, you can believe anything you want, make up any lie you want, but Yeshua is not going to appear until his gathering that takes place is all going to say, blessed is he that comes in the name of Yahweh, blessed. And then he tells you in Psalms, the blessings only come from the house of Yahweh. Blessed? Yeah, Revelations 22:14 said, blessed are those who keep his commandments. 4,199 religions out there, and none of them keeping the commandments. Find me one. I can tell you right now, the only place you can keep the commandments is the house of Yahweh. That's where you receive your blessing. There is no other promised blessing anywhere on the face of the earth. Well, he says, false messiahs. False messiahs. And not just one. See? He could make his appearance in several different places. We're talking about a number that follows Satan, that they're saying there's no more room in heaven for you. You're going to have to leave Jupiter. Now, they already know what's going to take place, you know, because there are asteroids, planets, big rocks, traveling at 37 miles a second or something like that. These are big. They got them bigger than that. The scripture talks about them. Now, these are set in motion to guard. But if it don't fit in Yahweh's plan and you try to interrupt this plan, nothing is going to interrupt this plan. Nothing. And when something tries to interrupt it, like disobeying an order straight from heaven, the heavenly court, and they don't do it, then these things get out of control. It's like hurricanes on the coast that stir up excitement and stir up energy. When something is not suitable, do you remember that when Moshe, he's bringing the children out of, brought them out of Egypt, come to a dry desert land with no water. No water. Well, of course, Yahweh, when he created the earth, he put a stone in a certain place and water behind it. Moshe, like myself, not guarding his tongue, did some things, and this is one of them he shouldn't have done, but he should have explained how Yahweh had done this from the beginning, that he put this rock there with the water behind it as a test to the people. He had already told them, I'll take care of you. Now keep this in mind when you start getting scared and you see something that I'll read you here in just a few minutes. That when you start getting scared, you have the doubts, you see this man with a wound in his side, it's making appearances all over the television sets. This is just one example. And you keep this in mind, because Yahweh has told you no harm will come near you. Remember Psalms 91? This is the house of Yahweh. The gates of hell are not going to prevail against the house of Yahweh, the unified house of Yahweh, the unified. Where the holy women of Nuh are standing guard, are preaching the message. Oh, what a beautiful prophecy come to pass. And you see it with your own eyes. What Eve could have become. Where the holy women of Nuh are teaching and going to be actually promoting miracles very soon. You know, I asked that the miracles be stopped in the house. I actually, Yahweh performed miracles through my hands, through my mouth, through my asking. And the very people that saw this and saw the dead raised, saw demons cast out, saw people healed instantly, and I thought they would never leave. And they all left. None of them here anymore. and they lived through it. Nurses saying, impossible. No, the baby's been dead now for so many hours. But I saw it. They saw it. They knew it was a miracle. They went around telling everyone. This went throughout the house of Yahweh. I saw these same people turn their backs on Yahshua and Yahweh. I said, I don't want any more miracles. If they can't come to you because of righteousness, I don't want to do it. Well, when Yahweh has his number, he's held it back. We've seen miracles, but nothing individual. And over the years, and we have people right now in the house that would rather die than to serve Satan, like the Nimrod system. We have people strong in the house right now, really strong. We have women that are to the point of Eve, the way Eve was created, to that point, who'd stand up for righteousness, preach righteousness, all of this is in the house of Yahweh right now. To me, that's the miracle I want to see. You believe without seeing, and that's what I wanted. I said, let me have people who will believe without seeing. Let me teach them your laws, and if they accept it, that's just great. And Yahweh said, tell them. It makes no difference whether they accept it or not. You've done your job. That's in your Yekeskes. Speaking of us. Speaking of us. There's no one else that could fulfill that prophecy. It's for us in these last days. The next time you read it that with that in mind, you'll see what I'm talking about. But these the people that are here, they're here because they believe the prophecies, and they see the laws, and they see what a beautiful thing they are, and they're practicing those laws. He who practices righteousness is righteous. Remember? First Yochanan 3. Well, here you're going to see these false messiahs. They may be preaching all over the world. False prophets. That "an" is added. So it's false messiahs that are false prophets could be, that could actually be, will show great signs. You see that? I think the King James Version says miracles. They'll work miracles. No doubt like the Coptic Catholics did in Egypt, working miracles. But notice they will deceive, the very elect. Now, that word there, if it were possible. You can mark out that word they added, were, and read it like this. If it possible, they would deceive the very elect. It's not possible, brethren. It's not possible. If you are converted and you keep your mind on these scriptures and what Yahshua said, there's no way they could deceive you. Don't follow after them. Don't go after them. I don't care if he's got spear wounds in his side, in his hand, whatever. You know for sure, Yahshua showed you first, there is going to be false messiahs. False messiahs. How are they coming? They're going to picture it probably like the picture you see in the Bibles. That's that Polaroid camera that I told you about back in his day. No, it wasn't invented then, was it? When did they invent a camera? Oh, such fun we have with the people who make up these lies. Well, if it possible, it's not possible. Yahshua said it's not possible if you'll believe. If you'll believe all that the prophets have spoken, all the foundation that he and his disciples have done. Behold, I warned you beforehand now. Behold, I warned you beforehand. You better read the rest of that. Study it hard this week. Study it hard. Try to get ahead of me. So you'll know what I'm going to bring next Sabbath. Yahweh willing, we're going to have a three-day feast. Praise Yahweh. It's going to be a lot of excitement as the girls down on the coast that don't run us out now after all that excitement coming forth that was sent to us showing the weather and how it stirred up the ocean. But 3 days, so we'll have 3 days of study, really deep study, and get into all of this that Yahweh wants you to see before it takes place. But remember what I just read you and what Yahshua said. I told you before it came to pass. I told you before. And now that it's come to pass, you should believe. We're past this first half. Now we're going into this second one. No, it's not going to be lengthened out. This second one is not going to be lengthened out. I know somebody said it would. No, it won't. Read the rest of that. It's going to be cut short, not lengthened out. It's going to be cut short. Matthew 20, 24, 21, 22. Let's see. Is that all? I had something else I was going to announce. The campground. The campground will be open. That was one of the questions. When do you open your campground? The campground never closes. The work never stops in the house of Yahweh. It goes 24/7, day and night. In fact, my phone tells me that sometimes at 12 or 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. But no, it's never closed. You need to write for reservations or call, email something for reservations to come to the feast. We'll be glad to help you by phone or by email and get ready and be here no later than Preparation Day. That's the sixth day that the world calls Friday in honor of a God. Every day of your week is in honor of a God. Every name, every Roman name of every day of the week and month is in honor of a God. They have you pronouncing these names. Yahweh said, remove them from your mouth. That's the reason we have a sacred calendar. Sacred. That's ones with the names Yahweh and Yahshua put in. We have a sacred book of Yahweh. That's where the names Yahweh and Yahshua were replaced. But be here on the sixth day, next sixth day, which is the Roman Friday, and get ready for the Sabbath that begins at sunset. Yes, Yahweh's days begins at sunset. The evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning, when the people came to Yahshua's tomb, the women came to his tomb. They came in the evening at the beginning of the first day of the week, near the beginning of it. They didn't come in the morning as the sun was coming up. It was dawning towards the first day of the week, which meant the sun was going down. Remember that. You can't get 3 days and three nights out of Friday sunset to Sunday sunrise. Try it. He said, I'll be in the grave 3 days and three nights. You preachers, please, I beg you, check that out. You can surely add that up and know something is wrong. And then contact the house of Yahweh and start studying. You're way behind, but we'll catch you up when you get here. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.